Today's shir is Daf Pei. We're going to begin with the last words in Daf Ayin Tesam Beis. The Mishnah said, "Diyoy, how much ink does one carry in Shabbos to be chayiv? K'day lichtoiv shtei oishis. The amount of ink you need to write two letters. Tana, so the Braisa says, shtei oishis b'diyoy. Whether it's two letters, if you're carrying out ink, it's interesting. Rashi says, diyoy yovish, dry ink. Which is a little difficult to understand, the Tosfos Rosh says, because dry ink is essentially useless. So he says, he would say, diyoy, regular diyoy. Shtei oishis pekumis, or whether the ink is in a pen, or shtei oishis pekumarin, or whether the ink is in an inkwell. One thing that Rashi points out is the following. The Gemara is saying that how much ink do you have to carry to be chayiv? The amount of ink you need to write two letters. So let's say I have less than that amount of ink, I won't be chayiv. So asks Rashi, but if I'm carrying out a pen, and the pen doesn't have enough ink even for two letters, but the pen anyway, I should be chayiv for carrying out the pen. Forget about the ink. So Rashi says that whatever you carry out a keli that contains something, if it's there as a container, and the amount in the container is not the right amount to be chayiv, then you're not even chayiv for the container either. Nadagamar asks the question, Boy Rava, Ois achas b'diyoy, Ois achas b'komis. Somebody's carrying out a pen with enough ink for one letter, and he's carrying out a jar with enough ink for one letter. Or Ois achas b'kamarin, who's carrying it in the inkwell. Do they combine? Mahu. Do they combine or not? Says the Gemara Teiku. So I want to tell you how the Chassam Sofer learns Pshat in this Gemara. The Chassam Sofer begins by quoting a Me'iri. The Me'iri brings down a machloikis of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Gemara we started today says that how much diyoy, how much ink do you have to carry? The amount to write two letters. But you know, if you have a pen that has enough ink to write two letters, you can't write two letters with it, because some of the ink gets stuck to the side and you won't have enough. Again, we're talking about minimal shiurim here, the minimum. So now the question is, when we say two letters, do we say two letters that you could actually write two letters? Or does it mean just enough ink that you can write two letters, even though you can never get two letters out of this pen or out of this jar? So the Bavli says, two letters means two letters. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference that part of it will remain stuck to the side. The Yerushalmi says no. The Yerushalmi says it has to be something that I can accomplish. It has to be two letters that I can actually write the two letters, enough ink to actually produce two letters. That's what the Me'iri says. However, says the Chassam Sofer, everybody agrees that in a pen, that's on a jar. So there, if you're carrying out a little jar with ink, and the Yerushalmi says, take into consideration that some of the ink is going to get stuck to the wall. But, says the Chassam Sofer, when you're taking out a pen, the pen is made to write, and if I have enough to write two letters, I don't have to take into consideration that some of the ink may get stuck to the sides of the pen. That's why, says the Chassam Sofer, now everything starts to fit. The Gemara asks, says Tosfos, if you have enough ink in a pen and enough ink in a jar, one letter in each. Says Tosfos, what about if you have enough, you're taking out two pens? Each pen has enough for one letter. What's going to be the halacha? So says Tosfos, that the Gemara doesn't have a shaila. That's certainly awesome, because you're carrying out two letters worth. The Gemara shaila is one is in an inkwell and one is in a pen. So why shouldn't they? So now, ask the Chassam Sofer, what's the Gemara Shaila? And the Gemara remains with a teiku, it doesn't even answer it. Why not? You're carrying out two letters worth of ink. So why shouldn't I be chayiv? Says the Chassam Sofer, because Rav is saying, since the shear of a pen and the shear of a jar is not the same, because by a pen I don't take into consideration what's on the wall, and by the jar I do take into consideration what's going to get stuck. So Mashi Tzarfu, can these two different types of situations be mitzarev to the shear of two letters? Next question. Amar Rava, Hoitzi Shtei Oishis. If somebody took out the amount of ink for two letters, the Kosfon, Kshumahalach, and as he's walking he writes, Chayiv. So he's Chayiv. for carrying, for transferring or carrying, if he did in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because ksivasan zuhani chasan. Writing is considered like a hanocha. What's pshat in the Gemara? Like we said many times, from the beginning of the Masechta, to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, for hoitzah, you have to have an akira, you have to pick it up, and you have to do a hanocha. So generally, what does a hanocha mean? Hanocha means you put the item, the object down. Here, putting the ink, why the writing with the ink on a piece of paper is considered a hanocha. So right away, the Ritva says, of course, you're also going to be chayiv for ksiva. That goes without saying. The Gemara is not discussing ksiva here, we're discussing only hoitzah. Now ask all the Rishonim, but you don't have a makom dalet al dalet. A piece, you didn't write it, and we know that a hanocha we learned at the beginning of Masechta has to be on a dalet al dalet. Where's the dalet al dalet? So they say a piece of paper that somebody writes on, that has a chashivas to you. To you, it's important, and that's why it has a din of a dalet al dalet, because it's a makom chashiv, even though it doesn't actually measure dalet al dalet. Vamarova, hoitzi ois achas v'kasva. You wrote. You took out the amount of ink for one letter and you wrote. V'chazav v'chaytzi oisachas. Then you write out, take out another letter and you write, potter. My tama, what's the reason? Because the idna de afkele b'sraisa, when you took out the second amount of ink, chosel the shiur de kamaisa. You don't have as much ink as for one letter. Because what happens? When you write a letter, especially in those pens, they use like fountain pens, part of the ink dries up. So by the time you wrote the second letter, the first letter, the ink had dried up, and you don't have the shiur. V'amarava. Interesting Gemara. We learned many times already, and that's really the sugyas that we're busy with now, that the shiur of hoitzah for food is a groigris. So what's the halacha? Hoitzi chatzi groigris achas. Somebody carried out a half a groigris of food. V'nicha, that means he did an akira and anocha. He's not chayiv, because it's only chatzi groigris. Now, v'choz v'hoitzi groigris achas, now he took out another chatzi groigris, and the mefarshim all point out, what does the Gemara say, hoitzi chatzi groigris achas? It should have said, hoitzi chatzi groigris. The point is, that not even necessarily from one item. You took out a half a groigris of one food, and you took out a half a groigris of another food. They don't even come necessarily from the same food. So says Rava, Rishoyin and Naskami Shekal Tekelev, I look at the first Chatzi Groigris as if it was eaten up by a dog, Oish Nisrafa, or was burnt, or Potter. Why? Because if I say that the first Chatzi Groigris is no longer here by the time I carry out the second Chatzi Groigris, it comes out that I never carried out a full Groigris in one shot. Ask the Gemara Vamai. I don't understand you, Rava. Hamantcha, you can't make believe it's not here. You carried out a half a Groigris, it's sitting here. And now if you carry out another chatzi groigris, as long as Rashi says it's betoy chelem echas, it's within one lapse of unawareness, you should be chayiv. Says Rav, you're right. Hachakamer. Vim kodem v'bir rishoyna, kodem hanocha shniya. If before you made the second hanocha, before you put down the second chatzi groigris, the first one was taken away, then we consider Nasir Rishon Kamash Niklatosh in the Sefer. It's considered as if the first half is no longer here. There was never an Akira Anoch on the first half, or Potter. But, what's going to be the halacha in a normal situation? Where you took out a Chatzi Groigris. That's a halacha lemaisa. You took out a Chatzi Groigris. And, it's still here. And now you take out another Chatzi Groigris in the same lapse. So you took out a whole Groigris and you'll be chayif. The only time you potter is if the first half of Groigris is no longer here. Ask the Prima Godim. We're going to talk about three shailas based on this Gemara. What's going to be the halacha, ask the Prima Godim, by tchina? Let's think about the case of grinding. One of the malachas. The shear of grinding also, let's say, is a Groigris. So let's say you ground a half a Groigris of an item. And then you stop, and you start again. So you don't have a whole item. You already ground up the first half. What's going to be the halacha? The Prima Godim says, perhaps dafka by hoitzah, Rava says his din. You know why he said it by hoitzah? Because like we also learned at the beginning of the Masechta, hoitzah is a malacha gerua. It's a difficult malacha. It's a weak malacha. So there we say this halacha. But by all other malachas, The fact that the first part of what you're doing no longer exists doesn't mean you didn't do the melacha anymore, and you'll be chayiv. Then he asks another shayla. What's going to be the halacha by ksiva? That's actually something that we're learning about today. Let's say you wrote one letter. Think about the shayla. You wrote one letter, you erased it, and then you wrote the second letter. So now you don't have, and we said the shear is two letters. So now you ever had two letters at one time. If you compare ksiva to haitzah, you'll be potter. Just like by potter, just like by haitzah, we said if the first half of grogris is not there, you're potter. Here too, if the first letter is no longer in existence when you write the second letter, you should be potter. And Itaka says that you'll be potter. And the Magen of Avos says a beautiful explanation in it. He says it's very interesting. The Magen of Avos says a klal. He says sometimes the Mishnah and the Masechta says, we learned the Mishnah, Paraklal Gadol, says a malacha, all the malachas. And sometimes the Mishnah not only says the malacha, but when it said the malacha, it says the shir. Ksiv shtei oisius. The question is, what did it say, kaisiv shtei oisius? She said kaisiv, writing. Then we'll talk what the shir is, like we're spending a lot of time. So he says, the Magen Avos, that when the Mishnah says kaisiv shtei oisius, what the Mishnah is telling us is that kaisiv less than two oisius is not considered writing, as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. So it's not that you did part of the malacha and you just didn't do the whole shir. It's you didn't do anything. So if you only end up with one letter, because you erased the letter, by the time you wrote the second letter, you'll be potter. Now, let's think about another shayla. What's going to be the halacha? Forget about Hilchos Shabbos. Macholos asuris. You're not allowed to eat chalev. So the shir of a chalev is kazayis. So let's say somebody ate a chatzi kazayis chalev. It's gone. It's in the stomach. And then it has to be toch kdei achilas pras within the shir, otherwise you're never chayiv. And now he eats the other half. Will you be chayiv or not? The first half is gone. So there, the Meiri says, you're certainly chayiv. Why? So there's two ways of learning it. One way of learning it is, what is the isser by eating macholos asuris? You're not allowed to have hano from a kazayis. You're not allowed to enjoy a kazayis of a macholos asuris. A person that ate a chatzi kazayis chalev stopped and then ate the other chatzi kazayis. Did he have a hano of a kazayis of chalev? The answer is yes. The fact that it took him two intervals to eat, it doesn't mean that he didn't have anor from a whole kazayis. And if he had anor from a whole kazayis, he's chayiv. Shabbos, on the other hand, it's not an issue of anor. It's an issue of melacha. What is considered a melacha and what is not considered a melacha? And if at the end of the series of work you don't have a whole melacha, you only have one letter, you only have one chatzi gregoris carried out, so you don't have a melachas machshavas. So Shabbos works differently than everywhere else. Shabbos is a concept of melachas machshavas. Eating has nothing to do with, has to do with anor. So that's pshat. So it could be by eating you'll be chayiv, either because you have anor or because there's no requirement for melachas machshavas. So by eating everybody will agree you're chayiv. Otherwise half of the machal sasurus you'll never have a problem. Just don't eat it in one shot. By Shabbos, so haitzah is clear that you won't be chayiv. That's the Gemara we just learned. Ksiva, pretty much everybody agrees you won't be chayiv. Toichen is the shayla. Most paiskim say you'll be chayiv. Continues the Gemara. Vamer Rava. Chatzi grogris. Somebody carried out a half a grogris. V'hinichan. He put it down. V'chazav ha'chatzi chatzi grogris. And now he carries out another half a grogris. V'vira deruch aleh. And he carries the second half a grogris above the first half of grogris that's already in the Rishus Rabbim, chayiv. You're already chayiv, it's considered like you carried out a whole grogris. Ask the Gemara, like we said before, the basic requirement for being chayiv haitzah is akira and hanocha. Where was the hanocha on the second half? V'amai haloinoch. Answers the Gemara, kagan shevir toich shloisha. Since the second half of grogris was within three tefachim of the first half grogris, we have a rule called lavud. Lavud tells us that anything that's within three tefachim of the ground is considered like it rested on the ground. So since the second half of grogris is within three tefachim of the first half, the halacha views it as if it landed on top of it, and it's and it's considered like you carried out a whole groigus. Says Taisus, Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. What's the chiddush of the Gemara? He says like this. Not only in a case, says Taisus, where I carry the second half over the ground, within three tefachim of the ground, do I say loved. Here the Gemara is teaching us that it could say loved not only to the ground, but it could say loved even to an item on the ground. Because here I have a piece of food on the ground, and the second piece of food is not within three tefachim of the ground. It's only within three tefachim of the food. Still, I'm going to say loved. Ask the Gemara, does Rava subscribe to the concept of loved? Vama Rava, Toich Shloisha, even if you carry something within Shloisha of the ground, within three tefachim of the ground, still Tzorech Hanocha Agabe Mashu, it's not just enough that's within three tefachim. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha, Kam Bezoyer, Kam B'Mavir. So this is the Pshat in the Gemara's Teretz. When you're throwing something over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, says Rava that the Rabbanon hold that I'm not going to say loved just because it's within three tefachim. It has to actually land. However, when I'm carrying something there, if it's within three tefachim of the ground, and now we learn it's not even of the ground, of the other piece, I will say loved. Ask the Ritva, what's the difference? If I hold of loved, I should always hold of loved. If I don't hold of loved, I should never hold of it. What's the difference if I'm carrying or I'm throwing? So Ritva says a beautiful pshat. Ritva says like this. When you're throwing, the item is in the air. It's totally suspended in the air. To tell me something suspended in the air as if it's sitting on the floor, how can you do that? The halacha of loved can't accomplish that. However, by maver, what am I doing? I'm holding it in my hand. So it is somewhat at rest, because it's at rest in my hand. Combined with the fact that it's within three tefachim of the ground, the halacha considers it like it's nach. Kluta Kamisha Incha travels with the same concept of loved. It's conceptually. The Rabbanim won't hold a kluta either. Only Rabbi Kiva holds a kluta. The Rabbanim won't hold of it. Continues the Gemara. By Zayrik. Turn our bottom. Another case. Hoiti Chatzi Groigris. If somebody carried out Hatzi Groigris, the Chaz of Hoiti Chatzi Groigris Behel Mechod, if you did it within one lapse of awareness, like we explained before, Chayiv. And obviously we're talking in a case where the first Chatzi Groigris is still in existence. However, B'shtei Halomis, if you did it in two lapses, so it's Potter. Why? Because like we learned in Paraklal Gadol at length, the two Halomis turn these into two distinct Melachas. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and teaches us a new din. Rabbi Yossi, Aymer, Behelem Echad, Rishus Echad, just because it was Behelem Echad won't make you Chayiv. It also has to be Rishus Achas. Chayiv, L'shtei Rishui is Potter. What does that mean? What that means is like this. Let's say I'm standing in the middle of two Rosh Hashanah Rabbims. My house has a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the front and in the back. I carry so my house is the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and the front is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the back is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I carry a Chatzi Groigris to the front, and I carry another Chatzi Groigris to the back. Says Rabbi Yossi that my house in the middle, this diagram in Rashi, my house in the middle is the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, separates these two Rosh Hashanah Rabbims, and even though I carry the two Chatzi Groigrisin to two Rosh Hashanah Rabbims, the Helam Echad, since there's a strong separation between these two Rosh Hashanah Rabbims, I won't be Chayiv. Obis says the Sasemis, you gotta be fair in life, says the Sasemis. It goes L'chumra also. What's going to be according to Rabbi Yossi, asked the Sasemis, this case, where I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, I carried one groigris to one Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and another groigris to other Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or Behel Mechas. How many times will it be Chayiv? So he says, you'll be Chayiv too. Because if you're telling me that the house, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, separates the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you're going to tell me a kula, that it separates, that the two halves don't combine, it doesn't combine L'chumr either. And each groigris will be viewed separately, and you'll be Chayiv too. So it's all the way. Now what the Gemara is going to describe is what's considered a significant separator between the two Rosh Hashanah Rabbims. So obviously, a Rosh Hashanah Yochid is a significant separator. There's no question. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, V'hu sheyesh chiyuv chatzis b'neihem. What is considered a legitimate separator? A Rosh Hashanah Daraisa. A Rishus that there's a Chiyuv Daraisa to carry from one to the other. Meaning, from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus Rabin, there's a Chiyuv Chatis. That's considered a separator. Aver Karmelis. Karmelis is not a legitimate separator, because it's Midaraisa, there's no Issa to carry from a Karmelis to a Rishus Rabin. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eiga a great question. We spoke about it at the beginning of Masechta. Midaraisa, a Karmelis is a Rishus HaYochid. We're only considering a Karmelis or Rishus HaRabim, a Karmelis, Mechumr de Rabbonin. So how can you tell me that this is not considered a Rishus HaYochid? Midaraisa, there's no such a thing as a Karmelis. Midaraisa, a Karmelis is really a Rishus HaYochid. So the Binyan Sin says a gewaldige chiddush. He says that Rashi holds, we always learn, that's the way everybody usually learns, that Karmelis is a Rabbonin Digger invention. Really, this area is a Rishus HaYochid. The Rabbonin made a new type of Rishus called a Karmelis. Says the Binyan Tzion, no, that a Karmelis has a validity midaraisa, and he brings a great raya. The halacha is that a Rishus HaYochid goes up, we learned at the beginning of Masechta, till the heaven. Rishus Rabin only goes up to Yud Tfachim. If a Karmelis is really a Rishus HaYochid, a Karmelis also goes up to Yud Tfachim. If a Karmelis is really a Rishus HaYochid, so why doesn't it go up to the sky? If we're saying it's really a Rishus HaYochid, so it must be that a Karmelis has some sort of a deraisa digger status. And that's why we're not going to consider a Rishus HaYochid. Abaye Amar says no, that even a Karmelis can be considered a separator. A fil Karmelis, av a pisla, a piece of wood, loy, that's not a separator. Rav Amar, Rav tells me, a fil a pisla, even a piece of wood. So Tosfos describes that the piece of wood is either Dalet Amos wide, but it's not Yud high, or it's Yud high, but it's not Dalet wide. So Tosfos right away asks, if it's Dalet wide, if it's Yud high, but not wide Dalet, it's a Karmelis. We already spoke about a Karmelis. So Tosfos said this is not a regular Karmelis, because it's a movable Karmelis. So Rava says that even a piece of wood, a big stick of wood, is a separator. Why? Says the Gemara of Oz the Rav Latamei. Just to explain, we have to review a Gemara Masechta Gittin. The Gemara Masechta Gittin says that for Ish to be divorced, for a woman to become divorced, obviously the usual way is that the husband puts the get in his wife's hand. But another way is if you put it into the wife's property. Let's say you have a situation where the husband and wife aren't going to meet each other, that he's going to give the get to her, and she doesn't have any property that he could deposit into. So what he does is, you know what? He'll sublease his yard to his wife, so now it becomes hers, and he deposits the get in her yard. So the Gemara says it's fine. Says Rava Masechta Gittin, what happens if when he throws the get into the yard, he's a shlamazel? It doesn't come into the yard, it lands on the piece on a log. Is she divorced or not? So Rava says no, because the log is a separate area. He rented to her the yard, not the log. So you see that Rava considers the log a separate area, and that's why, just like there he considers it a separate area, here too it considered a significant separator between the two Rishus Rabbims. Says the Tzfas Emes, when will Rava say that this log is a separator if the log separates all the way? But let's say the log doesn't go across the whole area between the two Rishus Rabbims, so you could walk straight. In other words, let's say the log will only go this much, and I could walk around, so then Rava will agree that the log is not a separator. Just like the log is considered a separate Rishus for Gittin, so too for Shabbos. So we learned Chol, how much I make up, k'day lichol ein achas. Ein achas, aloi kechachli. Nobody puts up, no woman puts up makeup only on one eye. And says the Gemara, amar avuna shekein tzluos kechlois ein achas. Women, sometimes women in some of these places only covered one eye, because that's like in the Arab countries. Meister Shimon Elazar, I'm a call eye makeup imler for if you're wearing it for medicine. So then it's kedei lichol ein achas, because you only put on the medicine on the eye that's diseased. Imle kashit, but if you're putting it on for makeup, bebeis enayim. So you see that eye makeup is always used on two eyes, not like Rav Huna says one eye. Says the Gemara, Tigma Hill Breir Shmuel Ben Nachmeni Kitanya Hibiroinius. People in the small cities. So the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is like this. In the big cities where there were a lot of people walking, in their society, women walked around covered, and they only had one eye uncovered. So they only put up eye, makeup on one eye. However, in the smaller cities where there wasn't so many people, the women walked around with both eyes uncovered, so you have to take out enough makeup for two eyes. So it's a wonderful Mishkanes Yaakov. You know, there's a famous Shaila, I think we discussed it here already. If for some way to be considered Rishus HaRabim, do you have to have Shishim Ruba? Do you have to have 600,000 people going there every day? It's a big Mechlokes Rishonim, it's very relevant to our world. So Mishkanes Yaakov brings a Raya from this Gemara, you don't have to. The Gemara says here that how much makeup is considered makeup in a city, in a small city where there aren't a lot of people? Enough makeup for a woman to have for two eyes. Says the Mishkanes Yaakov, but you can't be overcarrying in such a city anyway. There's no Rishus HaRabim. It's a small city. There's no 600,000 people. Says the Mishkanes Yaakov, here we have a Raya that you don't have to have 600,000 people to be Rishus HaRabim. Continues the Gemara. And the Vak. But Karmus is not the Raisa.
But why is it?
No, because we're talking about when it, the Shiro Itzah is always for the Raisa, for the Rabbanim with more makel, always. The Vak, Kedei Litem Rosh Shafshif. The amount of glue you put on top of the board. Tana, says the Gemara, Kedei Litem Rosh Shafshif, Shabarosh Konishal Tzaydin. The way they caught birds was they took a stick, they put a board on top of the stick, and they put glue on the board, and the birds got stuck to the board. That amount of glue is the amount of glue you chayif. Zephis for Gophris, pitch and tar, Kedei Lassis, Nekif. To make a hole, Tana Kedei Lassis, Nekif, cut a small hole. Charsis, crushed brick, Kedei Lassis, Pikor, the amount that you put on top of a furnace. Lememra. Now, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda said, no, that the amount of crushed brick, let's review what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, is the amount of crushed brick to make a tripod. So what are we saying? Rabbi Yehuda is a makel. The Rabbanan said just the amount of crushed brick you need to put on the opening of the furnace. And he says the amount you need for a tripod. Ask the Gemara, Lememra the Shur, Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. Are you going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda is a makel? Hakaimah Rabbi Shur, Rabbanan Nafish. We know the Rabbanan have the largest shear. They're the makelim. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, the beginning of our Mishnah, Kedei Little Himenu Minel Katan, when we spoke about how much rope are you chayiv, so the Tanakam said the amount of rope that you need to make a loop, a handle for a keli, for a utensil. Rabbi Yehuda said the amount you take to measure a child's foot. So all of a sudden here Rabbi Yehuda is a makel. At the beginning of the Mishnah he was a machmer. And says the Gemara, aim kedei lasut pitput kiriktana. It doesn't mean to make the whole tripod. It means the amount of crushed brick you need to fix the tripod. Ask the Ramban an obvious question. Just because Rabbi Yehuda's machmer at the beginning of the Mishnah, who says he has to be machmer at the end of the Mishnah? At the beginning of the Mishnah, by rope, he's a machmer. And by crushed brick, he's a makel. Like everywhere in Shas, just because you're machmer once, you always have to be machmer. So Ramban says, what's pshat in the machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbanan? The machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbanan is like this. Rabbanan say, like we learned earlier this week, we always look at common usage. Say to Rabbanan, it's not only common usage, we look at the most common use. Yehuda says it just has to be common usage. It doesn't have to be the most common. That's why he holds a rope for shoe, even though it's less common than a handle, it's common enough. So ask the Gemara, if common enough is good enough for you, Rabbi Yehuda, why isn't common enough good enough for you by crushed brick? So the Marataka says, we don't mean to make the whole tripod, only to fix the tripod, which is less than the mat you put on the top of the furnace. Tana Abonin, Hamaitzi Seir, somebody carries out here, Kedei Lagabu Basa Tit, the mat you need to make cement. Tit, how much cement? Last peak course at surface of, to put on top of the goldsmith's furnace. Sid, Kedei Losud, how much cement, how much lime, the mat that they used to put on the girls. So the Gemara talks about this. Tonic they lost with etzbak tadish of a bonus. The amount of lime you need to put on the smallest joint of a girl's hand. Honor of Yudam Araf, the nicest Rosh Gila Perkon. Sometimes you have girls that mature physically, they have hair on the body, Vlagila Shana, but they're not yet old enough. So they want to remove that excess hair. How do they do it? But nice in the Tiflis of some Sid. The poor girls use lime. But nice is Shirim Tiflis of Mesilus. The wealthier use flour. But nice Malachim, the princely girls, Tiflis of Shemen Hamar, use this type of Shemen Hamar. Shenemar, as we remember, we learned in Megillas Esther that when the girls were being prepared for Achashverosh, Shisha Chadosh Shemen Hamar. That's 6 months of Shemen Hamar treatment. My shaman amar, what is it? Rav Huna bar Chiya amar, sitkis. It's a type of oil. Rav Yirmi bar Abba amar, shemen zayis. It's the oil of an aleph, shleivi, shlish, that isn't a third ripened. Tanya Rav Yehuda oima. A fiknin shemen zayis, shleivi, shlish. A fiknin is this type of oil from olives that are not yet one third ripe. Why would somebody smear himself with that type of oil? It removes excess hair, and it makes the skin glow. Says the Gemara, Rabibi Havalei Barta. Rabibi had a daughter, Tafla Eva Aver. She had excess hair, and how did he get that off? By smearing her with this oil, one limb at a time. Why one limb at a time? Very important. Because this, even though, like everything in life, nothing's perfect. So even though this removes the excess hair, it also raises the body temperature very high. So if somebody's going to smear himself with this oil in one shot, they could put himself into danger. So he did one limb at a time, and Taka made her look beautiful. Her skin was glowing, and Shokobah Dal Meizuzah. And he was able to marry off. He got a huge amount of money, 400 zuz, from the chassan. Havahu Nachar B'Shavasai. There was a guy in his neighborhood. Havle Barta, he also had a daughter. And he also wanted to make her look beautiful. But he didn't realize that you're supposed to do one limb at a time. Tafl b'chad zimna. So he smeared her in one shot. A mesa, and her body temperature went up too much, and she died. Amar, so the guy said, Kotlu Rabibi Labarti. Rabibi killed my daughter. Because I tried to copy Rabibi, and this is what happened. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Rabibi, the Shasi Shikra, Rabibi, that drank a lot of beer, and beer, Rashi says, makes hair grow. That's why boy bansay tafla. That's why his daughters have to go through this treatment of removing the excess hair. However, ananda loy shasin in shikra, we who don't drink beer, loy bansay tafla, we don't have to go through the whole treatment because our daughters in the first place don't end up with excess hair. Rabbi Yehuda Aymek they lost at Kilkel. So we learned in the Mishnah, the Rehuda said, how much do you take out? The amount that you put on the, we're talking about sit still, the amount you put on the kilkel. And Rav Nechemya said, the amount you put on the indufi. And now the Gemara is going to discuss what is kilkel and what is indufi. My kilkel, my indufi. Amrav, Siddha. Rav says the kilkel is the temple, or Bas Siddha is the area below the temple. Lememra, says the Gemara, according to this understanding, the shiur of Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. Rabbi Yehuda has a larger shiur than Rav Nechemya, because the area under the temple is smaller than the area of the temples. So we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is a mekel. And we just finished explaining it on an aleph. Hakaim on the shiur of Rabbi Nafish. Rabbi Yehuda is the machmer, answers the Gemara. Zutim ad Rabbanon. He's more machmer, it's smaller than the Rabbanan, because Rabbanan said to shmir a limb, he says just to shmir a temple, but nafish mid Rav Nechemya, it's bigger than Rav Nechemya. So what the Gemara is saying is, the Yehuda is a machmer, but he doesn't have to be the biggest machmer. He's machmer versus the Rabbanan, but he's a mekel versus Rav Nechemya, because it'll go in this order. The Rabbanan are the biggest mekelim, they'll say the amount to shmir an eva cotton. Rabbi Yehuda is in the middle, he'll say the mount to shmir the temple, and Nechemya is the biggest machmer, he'll say the area under the temple. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Niran Div Rabbi Yehuda Bechavit. Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yehuda says makes sense in the type of lime, the type of cement called Chavit. The Div Rabbi Nechemya Bebeitz is Hasid. And what Rabbi Nechemya said makes sense. They're not really arguing. They're talking about different materials. Ask the Gemara, Visakadat Siddha Bas Siddha, if we're saying that the measurements are based on the temple and the area under the temple, Idivid Chavid, because people are not going to use Beitzes Hasid for the body. Ella Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Amri Debe Rav Ami, Andifa. You know what it means? It's talking about Dandifi, which is the area under the skin, under the temple. Mask of Lor of Kahana, Vichyasa Adam Maisav and Puris, Andifi means that Andifi means that a jar with two holes. And the Shir of Nechemya tells us is the mat that you use to close up the hole on a barrel. Ask the Gemara, Mask Lor of Kahana, Vichyasa Adam Maisav and Puris, if you're going to use this lime to close up your hole in a barrel, all you're going to do is you ruin your barrel, because the wine, the alcohol, will disintegrate the line. It wouldn't work. El Amar Rav Kahana, Shantos. You know what he meant? Sometimes you have a measuring cup, and on the measuring cup you have like markers. And that's what he meant, the line that you use to show the marker, to show exactly, you know, where it's an ounce or where it's whatever, a gallon. He said, Nan, like it says in Mishnah Masechta Menachos, you know, they had to bring mincha with every carbon. The mincha was made out of oil and flour. Based on the size of the animal, or based on the type of the animal, that was the mincha you brought. Now, how do you know if you brought the right amount of oil? They had a cup, and the cup was a measuring cup. So that's what he says. That's where we find this concept of shantas hayibahin. There were measuring points on the hin. At kalapar, this is the amount of oil you have to bring when you bring a cow. At kalayil, this is how much you have to bring when you bring a deer. At kalakavis, this is how much you have to bring for a ram. Vibais ema, my andifa. What does andifa mean? Andifa doesn't mean a measuring cup. Andifa doesn't mean a jar. Andifa means a pusa. It means the forehead, which is the way we explain when we learned the Mishnah. There was this person from Gaul, the Ikla Bavel. The Amalei, they told him, Kum drosh lo ma'isim ha'kava. You know, in Yecheskel, they are prokem to teach about the ma'isim ha'kava, how it looks in Shemayim. Amalei, so he told him, Edrish t'chuk gedoshim nechemi l'chavrei. I'll teach it to you like Rav Nechemia taught his friends. For Nafka Arisa Mekaisel, that moment, a bee came out of the wall, Umachsei Bangdife bit him on the forehead, Umis, and he died. Vamrelei, and they told him, Mindelei Dolei, he caused his own death, because the Mais Mekav is not something that you're supposed to teach the rabbin. In fact, Arizal quotes this Gemara and says that after he told his Talmidim as he was leaving the world that they shouldn't even learn Kabbalah after he leaves the world. There are certain things that are better left not taught and not learned. But basically what's relevant to us is you see that the definition of Andifi is the forehead. Adama, says the Mishnah, Kechaisim HaMatzufim. How much earth? The amount that they put on a sack to seal it. Dear Rebbe Kiva, Chamayrim Kechaisim HaGaris. The amount you put on a letter to seal it. Zevel, which is fertilizer, choladak, coarse earth, kedei lezava klach shakrov. The amount you need to fertilize a stalk of cabbage, divrei bekiva. Vechamayim kedei lezava kreisha. The amount you need to fertilize a leek. Cholagas, choladak was fine salt, fine earth. I mean, cholagas means coarse earth. Kedei liten amoli kalef sid. The amount you mix into plaster. Kana, which is a reed, kedei lasas kumas. The amount you need to make a pen. Vimhaya ava amarusis, if the reed is thick or it has ridges in it, so you cannot use it as a pen. Kedei levash barbei kalash barbeim, the amount you need to cook the easiest egg to be cooked. Trufa, when it's beaten already, then the sooner the gilf is put on the skillet. The amount that you need to make that fuel. So we learned regarding the sid. The man said by chol agas, we said a molikaf sid, a molikaf sid. Tonei kedei liten a pikaf shel sidon. The amount of earth that you put into the lime for the painters, says the Gemara. Man tana de chol malil sid. So we see that they mixed earth into this plaster. Who says that? Am Rav Chizder of Yehudihi. The Tanya lo yosel on the base of the sid. A person nowadays after the churban, Zeich l'churban, zeich to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, should not paint his house with gray paint. Elm kein ir by tevin achol. Unless you put into it some straw or earth, which makes the paint not that white. Rabbi Yehuda ben tevin mutter, chol osur. Neshu tachsid. You're not allowed to use chol, because it only makes the plaster better. Rava mafil tan rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan will agree that you shouldn't use, you could use the chol. Why? Even though you're making the plaster better by putting sand into it, but you're making it not that white. And we want that your house shouldn't be so perfectly painted. Zeich l'chorben. So that's why you should put in the sand, even though it makes it a better plaster. Kana kedei lasas kumas. We said a reed that you make a pen. Tana kumas hamagil kisher etzbaisov. How long is the pen? It comes up to your joint. Barvashi. Now the question is, what joint on the finger? Kesha elyon or kesha tachta? The higher joint or the lower joint? Taker. Vimaya avi. If it's a thick one, you couldn't use as a pen. The match you need to cook an egg. Tana trufa b'shemen, beaten with oil, so cooks quicker. And the sooner b'ilf is put on a skillet. Amle ma b'reid revina l'rei. Mishma lachbei kalamaihi. Did you know what is the definition of a bay kala? Amle bay the tzitzilosa. The egg of a tzitzilosa, it's a very small bird. My time, what are you saying that? Shum de zuch, because it's a small bird, so it gets cooked quicker. Aim at the tzivser, so maybe say it's a tzvirta, which is even a smaller bird. Ishtik. Amle midelach shmambaha. Did you hear halach lemaisa? What egg are we talking about? Amle hach amra sheshes, bay tanagoilus. We're talking about a chicken egg. Of a micro lebay kala, why is a chicken egg called the easy egg? Shiru chacham because Chazal measured and they determined ein lechabay kala levashel. There is no egg that cooks quicker. Yosef ben Tanagoyles quicker than a chicken egg. Or Maishna asked the Gemara, so he was saying that the shear is a bayah egg. Asked the Gemara all over till now. We learned that the shear by Michael is always a groigris. Also now we're learning a bayah. Asking my Mishnah Koshur Shabs Kigrigris. All over we say the shear is a Kigrigris. Vach Kabeya, all of a sudden here we're saying the shear is Kabeya. Amle Hacham Rav Nachman Kigrigris Mbey Kali. You don't have to cook the whole egg. As soon if you have enough wood, that's enough fuel to cook the Kigrigris, that amount of a Bey Kala, which we just identified as a chicken egg, and it has to be beaten, and it's also with oil, and it's also on the skillet, that much wood. If it's not usable, that much reed, if it's not usable as a pen, is the shear for carrying out a reed on Shabbos.